It's hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up at 1:45, where are we at in society? That time patriotic lunacy tried to cancel Troy Aikman. At 1:30, you start looking ahead to NFL Week 7. In a mere minutes, Eric Nahlin pinch hits for Justin Wells and talking Longhorn football. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. Before we jump in and talk to Eric, let's let you know about Randall's and a couple things they've got going on for you. We got a Coors Light chilling with the horns this afternoon from 3 to 7. That's the Randall's in Leander on Lakeline Boulevard. Get on by there. Take a picture with the Coors Light Longhorn display and use the hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill for your chance to win a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. So thanks to Randall's. Thanks to the co-op. Thanks to Coors Light for being great partners of ours on that. Also, thanks to Randall's for our ticket window opportunity. You've got a chance every home week to win tickets to that week's Texas game. Just listen tomorrow to the Triple Option, and the guys will tell you exactly how to do that. And you just listen for that word of the day. They will tell you how to do it. So that's tomorrow, every Thursday during home weeks, you get that opportunity. And this afternoon is your chance to get that gift, to get in on that gift card to the co-op. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, and we'll talk about these Texas Longhorns getting ready for the Baylor Bears for the 110th time. He is Eric Nahlin of Inside Texas. Check out all the great stuff at InsideTexas.com. He's at Eric Nahlin on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. Eric, we appreciate you jumping in this week, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing very well. I guess the argument could be we're doing better than the Texas football team is right now. But let's start with a hopefully clean slate, realistic view here. They've had a chance to take this off week and take a breath. Tom Herman talked about catharsis and all that kind of stuff. Give me your sense of where they are headed into this Baylor game, because a lot of times the good is never as good as you think, but sometimes the bad's not quite as bad either. Where do you think Texas is heading into this game?
You know, there's been a lot of rumors about him losing the team, and I haven't heard anything that suggests that. I've heard practices have been going well. Tom Herman has made mention that they've had the good players going against the good players, ones versus ones. And I've heard that as well. So I think they're practicing hard. They're working to get better. The players trust the coaches. They see incremental improvements at times. There's definitely a level of frustration. Within the team, there's a lot of personal accountability about them not doing their jobs. A lot of times they feel like the coaches are putting them in a good place. So there's some merit to what Herman has been saying in the press conferences. I think they're ready to get a win, and Baylor's a good chance to get that win considering all the issues that they've had.
Eric, what was the most troubling thing for you with this football team coming out of that loss in Dallas to the Sooners?
I guess I would have to say Tom Herman. It just seems that, you know, a lot of the good that we've seen from Texas is new, stemming from the new hires, and a lot of the bad we've seen is old, which you would probably equate to Herman. So my most frustration, greatest frustration is probably just with the head coach himself. Joe Cook wrote a good piece this morning about how the offense is way more effective in the last 5 minutes of a game than in the first 55, and that's a testament to, I think, how Tom tends to throttle up and throttle down too much throughout the game.
So I guess the next question then is how much is Tom Herman going to meddle with the offense going forward? And he was resigned to this notion that the Texas offense is better off going – with a little bit of pace after that loss to Oklahoma, like he didn't want to do it. But clearly he knows what the answer is. Will he allow that to happen?
Well, I don't know. You know, he's been sharing books with the team about ego. So maybe if he accidentally read a few pages, maybe he will start to go with what works as opposed to what he wants to do. He has this image of the team that I think he has in the image of himself. Like it executes well. It's an intelligent, disciplined, fundamentally sound team. And that's not the team he has on the field. The team he has on the field is the athletic team. You want as many possessions as possible and let the athleticism and overall physicality wear the other teams down. And I think he's got the wrong mindset for the team that he has.
Talking with Eric Nahlin of Inside Texas. Eric, you tell me if I was seeing something wrong here. I watched the UTEP game, and I felt like I was seeing Mike Yurcich's ideas, and I felt like I saw some different combinations, and I felt like I saw a lot of personnel stuff, and then I don't feel like I've seen it since. Was I just watching a team play UTEP, or do you think I was seeing it accurately?
No, I think you saw it accurately. And to me, there was a huge discrepancy between UTEP and Texas Tech, and then Texas Tech and TCU. TCU, I thought we saw a lot of elements of the UTEP game. We started seeing wide receivers schemed open with much more frequency. The only problem is it might not have landed with fans because the wide receivers had too many drops. But I thought there was a lot of opportunity, tons of yards left on the field versus TCU. And then, you know, it's bad watching the OU game we're in the third quarter, and my wife goes, "This looks like freshman Sam Ellinger." And I said, "That's exactly right."
Ooh.
And so, you know, it's kind of like he's just out there on an island by himself. There's definitely a disconnect between the games we've seen. TCU, I would lump in there with UTEP as a well-called game, just poorly executed. With Texas Tech and OU, it looked like they were, you know, they were kind of lost out there, definitely not on the same page.
Are you surprised we haven't seen more out of the wide receivers this year? Obviously, the injuries to Whittington and Jake Smith have hampered what they're trying to do out of the slot, but some of these other guys were expected to take steps forward. And is there an obvious answer for that guy who can turn into Sam Ellinger's number one guy in pressing situations?
Well, I think they're miscasting these guys to a certain degree. I haven't been high on Eagles. Anybody that reads Inside Texas knows that I've had considerable questions about him for a while. I'm a bigger fan of Marcus Washington, but he's had injury issues as well. So they've been banged up. But you see them trying to use Josh Moore as a target receiver. He's about 170 pounds, maybe, in full uniform. And they're expecting him to go up and beat double coverage. And that's just not going to happen. You know, that's a guy that you should be trying to get in space and let him run away from people. So I think they're miscasting people. There's definitely an issue with guys not rising to the occasion. And then, you know, there's been too many drops. You know, the drop that Jake's a good player, and Jake's going to make a lot of plays for Texas, but these guys have to execute some well-thrown passes, and we've seen way too many drops. But, yeah, there's not a clear number one right now. You know, they should never count on Whittington just given his injury history. That'll never be a valid excuse to me. Jake Smith being injured, yeah, that definitely hurts.
Eric, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, this running game, and do you give a little more of it? Do you focus a little more on it? Talk to me about this offensive line, though. Is the offensive line good enough to do to work out any of the ideas you might be trying here, whether it's run game, whether it's get Sam and these receivers more developed? Is this offensive line good enough for any of it?
Well, that's the value of the creative play calling that we saw versus UTEP and TCU. You know, yards are going to be easier to come by if the defense doesn't know what's coming. So it's the problem that they had last year, to a certain extent, you know, the coaching hasn't been great either. But a big problem was that they're way too predictable. And I think we're getting back to a point where they're far too predictable yet again. But, you know, they're not receiving great coaching. You know, they fell victim to the same stunts that OU beat them with last year. It's highly predictable that OU was going to run them again, and Texas didn't look ready for it. So the offensive line isn't great. That's just something that they're going to have to deal with. Knowing that, Tom should probably run more tempo, spread the field out more, become less predictable.
Are you seeing signs on defense that these guys are really starting to buy into and understand what it is Chris Ash is trying to do?
You know, I definitely wasn't until I saw those disturbing coverage busts versus OU. I thought that, you know, each game's had their issues. UTEP, obviously, the tackling. TCU, you know, they played good in parts. They definitely improved from the previous week. You know, the coverage has been okay for the most part. They're not playing the ball great, but they're right there to make the play. They're just not making it with enough frequency. You know, I have seen improvements. The coverage busts were upsetting, but, you know, Lincoln Riley's great at getting you into those busts. I think they are improving. The defensive line is definitely coming along. I think Overshown has improved a lot. You know, expectations are so high on him just because of his baseline talent level. But we've got to account for the fact that he's playing a new position, and he's improving. So I think the coaching is definitely superior to last year. I think guys are in position to make play. I think they'll continue to improve if they stay bought in. You know, I think Ash has done a pretty good job.
Staying on the defensive side, you mentioned Overshown's improvement there. Overall, linebackers, obviously him, Mitchell, there have been some issues, but you feel like that group is getting better. Obviously, they still have the top of the Big 12, and I know it's the 2020 Big 12, but they still have the best teams to play, and obviously there's teams that are going to be challenging there. What do you think about the linebackers moving forward? Do you think there are any, personnel changes to make, or is it just about tweaking up the scheming?
You know, I would definitely keep the competition going between Court and Juwan Mitchell at Mike linebacker. Overshown, of course, you want to keep getting him reps. He's only going to get better with more time, and eventually he'll have a breakout game. I don't know. I would probably look at playing a freshman like Jalen Ford, who's more instinctive. He blends a little bit of the athleticism Juwan has, but some of the instincts that Court has or the coaching. Court knows where to be. He's just a little robotic. That play where they gave up the 3rd and 7 that iced the game for TCU, Court did everything right, except there was a play to be made. So the coaches can't really get mad at him for taking on the block as he should have, except he probably could have made the play. Juwan would have probably made that play, but he would have missed a lot of others by not taking on the block the proper way. So they're kind of – it's a give or take playing those two. I would try to play Jalen Ford, even though he's a true freshman. I just watched Corey Flagg at Miami, who was too small to play at Texas. He's a true freshman making plays versus Clemson. Sometimes you just have to let these guys get out there and play.
It was disappointing that Caden Stearns ends up missing the Oklahoma game. He obviously came into this season with high expectations, people hopeful that he could return to that all-conference level performer from his freshman year, but here we are. He had the interception at the end of the Texas Tech game. He's made plays here and there, but it kind of seems like he is conspicuously absent at the wrong times. Where do you rank him in terms of order of importance for individuals on this defense, or is he a guy whose influence is really starting to ebb?
Yeah, I mean, he's fungible. I thought he actually played pretty well versus TCU. He caught a lot of flack in that game. I didn't really see it on tape. I thought he played okay. He's just turning into what I would call a slightly above average Big 12 safety. He's not special. If he wants to go to the NFL, he's going to have to learn to play through some injuries. And, given that his measurables aren't great, they're not going to pop off the tape, he's going to have to be productive, and you can't be productive from the sideline. So, he's going to have to get out there and play if he wants to make money at this game.
Eric, a big conversation point over the last week and a half now has been what happened after the Oklahoma game with the eyes of Texas. We certainly don't want to beat this dead horse too much more with you today, but I did want to ask you about this topic in terms of what's going on the field. How much of an issue do you think this would be if this team was winning right now, and just how much of an extension is this in this notion that Tom Herman does not have all his T's crossed and all his I's dotted with what's happening on the field and maybe even away to the field to a lesser degree?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is Tom Herman hasn't really turned this into a transactional process where he said, he can say, he has the leverage to say, guys, hey, we got to do it this way. And if you don't do it, you're not going to play. He doesn't have that leverage. The great coaches have that leverage. He hasn't earned it yet. I think he lacked leadership throughout the whole thing. Del Conte made it clear what was expected of them. He made it clear to the other teams. Chip Brown, actually, to give Chip a little love, he wrote a good piece getting the other coaches on the record about the expectations from Del Conte. It doesn't sound like Tom Herman entirely lived up to that. The team didn't live up to that. I do think there was a lot of confusion as to what happened after the OU game. I know that the players didn't know that Sam was out there by themselves. They didn't know how bad that looked. A lot of the players, they don't fault the fans for singing it. They don't necessarily think it's racist. They don't think it's racist for the fans to do that. They know the fans have been singing that song since they were 5. They've been singing it at weddings. They understand the history of it. They just have a little different read of it from its founding that upsets them, and they don't feel they should be obligated to sing it. Most of them, from what I've heard, are perfectly fine standing and raising the horns. So that's probably the leadership that Tom should have provided from the outset. I think we'll see that. Del Conte had the meeting with the team, but there's been a lot of time since then. And there could be some frustration or people getting their head, telling them they shouldn't stay out there. Who knows what's going to happen. But I think, after a victory, you're more inclined to celebrate. And, the eyes of Texas they're going to be more want to celebrate, I think, after they play well.
That's a pretty good point there. And just how big of a concern is it that Tom Herman does not have that leverage, considering that we are in year 4 now, that he can't ask these guys to do something and have them do it? That's a big red flag for me in terms of his future here in Austin.
Yeah, I think he tried to win over the locker room, and it didn't exactly go according to plan. The only way that was going to work is if he actually won on the field. And the team has been unprepared in a couple games. They've lost two. So he's not, when he took that risk in the offseason, this was the downside of it, and he's experiencing the downside of it.
I asked this question to Justin last week, and I certainly wanted to get your thoughts this week as well, Eric. Obviously, Tom Herman is dealing with a ton of heat right now. You have rumors going on left and right about Texas reaching out to Urban Meyer to gauge his interest in things and just how much that might cost. What percentage do you put on Tom Herman being the coach here at Texas to start the 2021 season?
You know, I don't know if I'll put an exact number on it or anything, but I, after the OU game, I put a 25% chance he would return. I would have it less than that. He's got six games left. I think his longest win streak at Texas was in 2018 when he won six in a row. I wouldn't bet on him, I wouldn't bet on him finishing as strong as he needs to retain his job. I hate to talk about it. It's a bit morbid. Certainly not my position to fire anybody as a dumb writer. But I think that he's got an uphill battle to keep his job.
Do you think that if he loses more than one game in these final six, that it's probably it for him?
That wouldn't surprise me. I have a lot of, I've got my tentacles in a lot of different aspects of the program, donors, AD, et cetera. And I'm not sensing much support from Tom. And in fact, I'm feeling quite the opposite. He's got a lot of folks upset at him. It's not just the wins and losses. The undisciplined team, a lot of people didn't like how he handled the eyes of Texas. So his only currency to save his job right now is wins. He's proven to be his own worst enemy when it comes to those wins. If he took a step back, let his coordinators coordinate, he might have a better chance.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed that actually happens. Unfortunately, history tells us that it probably won't. Last thing, Eric, we're going to break away from Texas football. I know that's disappointing for you, having to just talk negatively about things. But I did want to get your thoughts on your Houston Astros and just how you feel about how this season went.
Oh man, I thought the finish the playoffs was more gratifying than the year before when they went to the playoffs. They played with a lot of heart. They had that game where I think they pitched five rookies from the bullpen. I can stand behind any team that leaves it all on the field like they did. To me, it was a very gratifying finish. Verlander's out, Jordan Alvarez is out. They lost Cole. They just didn't have a whole lot going for them. Some of the bats got hot. And they just played together. It was a lot of fun. I know everybody's down on the Astros. I was actually in California watching the playoff games, and people were coming up to us. Who are you rooting for? You're rooting for the Rays or the Astros? And me and my wife were loud. Now we're Astros. And of course, it's all Giants and Dodger fans out there, and we were getting it from a lot of Dodger fans. But I'm not going to apologize for 2017. It was a gratifying season. I'm looking forward to see what they do. They're probably going to lose Springer, which is upsetting to me. He's probably my favorite Astro of all time. I just love the way he plays. I like those five-tool players. But Correa, dude, I've turned a 180 on Correa from his vocal leadership to him just not giving a damn too often. He hasn't been overly apologetic. He's done what he can. He's apologized for what they did. Now it's time to move on. And, I just like the chip on the shoulder he has.
He definitely put his balls out there. And let me say this as a Texas Rangers fan. We're gonna welcome George Springer to our team with open arms.
there's a big rivalry on Inside Texas between the Rangers and the Astros fans. And when the Astros got in that really good groove in the playoffs, I mentioned that I was going to put all the coaching information in that thread, so all the Rangers fans had to go read it.
That's funny. That's Eric Nahlin of Inside Texas. Go check it all out. Whether it's hidden information or not, they'll have it all for you. InsideTexas.com. And he's at Eric Nahlin on Twitter. Eric, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, E.
Good stuff there. That's a funny idea. Embedded in there where Ranger fans have to go find it. That's some interesting stuff, Trey. The idea that, from the inside of the program, he's not feeling a lot of support for Tom Herman right now. With two losses, I wonder, does it have to be a clean run? Like, does it have to be a clean run throughout, get to that Big 12 title game, and maybe even win the thing? Or it really could be over?
I think two losses practically guarantees a change.
Two additional losses.
Two additional losses.
Okay.
Because at that point, you're finishing 6-4, and you fell well below expectations for this season.
Mm.
One loss, it may depend on who you lose to and how that loss happens.
And whether or not it kicks you out of the title game? Because you could still be in the title game, maybe?
That might have an impact, too, but I feel like one loss may be enough for
right.
these changes to happen.
Man, oh, man. We'll
and
see.
If that loss happens in the next couple of weeks, that may be enough to make it happen midseason.
Yeah, I mean, losing to this Baylor team, that's a different version.
You lose to Baylor, we're going to have some breaking news on Sunday.
Because you can lose to Iowa State, and you can lose to Oklahoma State, and maybe K-State. I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying individually, right? You could lose to one of those three teams, and there may be an understandable sort of explanation, but this Baylor team, you can't lose to.
You lose to Baylor on Saturday, we will be dealing with some serious news on Sunday.
All right, Texas.
And your show on Monday will be easy. Well, I'll be on a beach.
You'll be on a beach.
Thankful that I'm not working right. in the media that day.
There you go. Be a different kind of press conference on that Monday.
Yeah.
If that was gonna happen. Texas and Baylor is a 2:30 kick on Saturday. And remember, 10:30 will fire up the pregame for you. Longhorn Game Day brought to you by Coors Light. 10:30 on Saturday morning. Up next, we're getting ready for NFL Week 7, including four matchups of winning teams and a matchup, Texans fans, that I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going to be able to watch unless you do one of a couple things. We'll tell you what they are coming up on the Horn. Yeah, you are in a good mood, I can tell. Beach music. Who is this again?
MIA. MIA, Chad.
This is a familiar one. This has been on, I can't remember what, some incarnation of shows I've been on. This one was that was a comeback.
I think it was on in Pineapple Express, I should say, a movie that you weren't
Ooh,
crazy about.
Yes, that's true. It is in there as well.
Paper Plane's the name of the song. It's a good one. It's a very catchy tune.
Every single ingredient in that movie should have been good for me, and it just didn't work. God, should have happened. Should have been good, but it didn't quite happen for me. Trey is getting ready for that beach wedding this weekend. Trey will not be with us on Friday or next Monday and Tuesday, so we will fill in things without Trey around for those couple of days. But really cool that his friends get to have that wedding that they were going to have back in April, but they get to have it now. And so we hope all of you are having a great Wednesday. Couple of quick notes before we get into NFL stuff. An NBA note where Stan Van Gundy gets a job in New Orleans, so he's off broadcasting and back to coaching. Also, how about this? LSU has thrown out some self-imposed penalties for recruiting violations and banned OBJ for 2 years from their facilities. Odell Beckham Jr., remember when they won the national title and he handed players money on the field? Remember that?
Oh,
and remember
boy.
When LSU did the, you know, it's our understanding that it was fake money.
Right.
Well, now in their reporting, they're admitting that now they've realized it was real money. Huh, really? You realized it was real money, huh? So they've banned Mr. Beckham for 2 years.
Okay, Chad, we're about to start looking ahead to NFL Week 7.
Uh-huh.
But a team that's not playing this week that I think needs a little bit of attention right now is the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
They're on bye this week. They play the Rams in Week 8. But obviously they made headlines yesterday by announcing that Tua Tagovailoa was going to be the starter.
Yes,
going
sir.
Forward. Ryan Fitzpatrick is his backup, at least for the foreseeable future. Well, they just had Zoom press conferences
mm-hmm.
with Fitzpatrick, Tua, and Flores. And
oh, no.
It's not terrible necessarily, but Fitzpatrick is heartbroken right now. Like, he's trying to take this as well as humanly possible.
Oh, no.
But he said some interesting things in this Zoom conference.
He didn't shave, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Just
because that would be much bigger news than anything that he could have said.
I thought you were going to tell me he got rid of the beard. I was about to freak out.
Kept the beard, shaved his chest.
Okay, fair enough.
So his thoughts on, or his reaction rather, on being benched. Quote, I was shocked by it. Definitely caught me off guard. It was a hard thing for me to hear yesterday, just digesting the news. My heart just hurt all day. There was a lot of stuff going through my mind yesterday, like, is this it? I've been a starter. I've been benched all kinds of different ways, but this was kind of the first place other than Buffalo that I've been fully committed and invested. I felt like this was my team. He continues, I basically got fired yesterday, and my day-to-day consisted of Zoom meetings with a guy who fired me and sitting in a room with a guy who replaced me for 4 hours.
Wow. And he's saying that while Tua and Flores are on the Zoom call, too?
I think the Zoom calls are separate. So he's saying this before some of these other guys. And then he finishes off by saying he has no idea about next season, says he doesn't want to go in there and ask or demand anything with regards to requesting a trade.
Whoo, man, I feel...
But he is a trade candidate, though. Like, if you're a Cowboys fan right now, do you consider Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because I think he's a better option than Andy Dalton.
I would agree with that. Yes.
If nothing else, because he has the ability to elude pressure a little bit
better.
Yeah,
you can get out of there. You have a better ability than Andy Dalton does. But yes, he has
pretty athletic.
He has better feet than Andy does. That is weird because, like, deep down, do I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a starting quarterback in this league, like, for 16 games? No, I don't. I've said it before. I think he's a guy that once you look at film, something happens and things change. But we had talked about it yesterday. He had two straight games of winning games. If they were 1-5, this would be a different story.
Agreed.
Right?
And I'm guessing they thought they were going to be in somewhere in the 2-4 to 1-5 realm.
And that must be what he's thinking. Wait a minute, we just won two games. We're 3-3. We're one game out of first place here. We're going into a bye week. Rest up, get better. And now you just took the team away from me. I totally get why he's upset. I'm a little surprised he expressed it that clearly. But now he's got to go about the mindset. It's got to be tough to do. But now he's got to get into that, you know, experienced backup, help the kid mindset. Because now he realizes Tua playing bad, Tua's going to have to play bad, and they're going to have to lose like three games in a row before he gets a job back.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll be an injury. One of those two things brings him back.
Certainly hope it's not the latter, but you may be right about the three bad games in a row. Well, especially because if they're still in contention. Like, Ryan Flores is a guy who wants to win. Right. They had every opportunity to tank last year. You remember how bad they were to start the 2019 season? They were awful, historic level bad. But they turned it around and were actually competitive. And they played spoiler to the Patriots the final game of the season.
That's true, they did. Yeah, they changed the whole playoffs at that moment. Wow, that's interesting with Fitzpatrick. That is, Trey said, that's one of the teams that'll have off this week. NFL Week 7 gets cranked up. You have four matchups of winning teams. Noon kick for Pittsburgh at Tennessee, the game that was supposed to be a couple weeks ago. But that's fantastic this week. You've got Seattle and Arizona, a late kick. That's at Arizona. They're 4-2, obviously 5-0 Seattle. You've got Sunday night. How about this one? The Pirate Bowl, if you will. The Gruden Bowl. Tampa Bay at Vegas. If that place was full, it'd be so incredible to watch.
Oh, man.
But John Gruden facing, obviously, his old team there and facing Tom Brady. That's interesting. And Monday night, you've got Chicago at the Rams. Those are all winning matchups. The one we should mention real quick locally, Trey, is Houston and Green Bay. I'm letting Texans fans know as much as I can this week. Mm-hmm. The game's not on in Austin. And I started looking at the schedule and I realized, wait a minute, is this going to happen again? It happened a couple weeks ago. Cowboys and Washington is a noon kick, so it's on Fox. And because it's Green Bay at Houston, that's a Fox game. So they're not putting them both on, and you know who's going to win in any Texas market other than Houston itself. So it's Cowboys on at noon here, and the CBS game will be the Steelers. So I'm telling you right now, if you're a Texans fan, we've come up with two options for you. You either have to pirate that football game. You can go Red Zone channel if you want and watch some of it. But if you really want to watch the whole thing, you either pirate the game or you got to go out somewhere. You got to go find Pluckers or whatever, which I don't know how that works, because if you're a local Pluckers or Cover 3 or whatever, how do you get the Texans game? You can't get it locally. And if you have Sunday ticket, you'd have to have Sunday ticket from outside the market, right? Because if I have if I have Sunday ticket and I paid my money, I don't get Texans or Cowboys, do I?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're going to have to find a website that pirates games if you want to stay home and watch this one, or just hope that it's a close enough game that the Red Zone channel is giving it a lot of time.
By the way, perfect opportunity for my latest rant on this. Why is that still true?
I don't get it.
In 2020,
they finally dropped the blackout rules. Finally.
Yeah.
After all this time.
So if they're not there, then explain to me how, if I am the best example around these parts to me is the Astros fans. If I'm an Astros fan, why can't I have MLB extra innings or whatever you call it, and I can watch all the games. Forget about where I live. Like there are it's so goofy to me. But this is another circumstance where Texans fans are going to get absolutely hosed on Sunday just because the Cowboys exist and they're in one of these, because we're just in a weird market that is kind of both, but when Austin has to pick, it picks the Cowboys, which makes sense.
I don't remember many other times where I am collectively less interested in the Texans and Cowboys games on a Sunday, because they're both happening at noon, but there are other games happening at noon, one in particular,
sure,
that if I'm watching a single game, if I'm flipping it off a Red Zone channel, and now that I'm saying that, I realize I'm going to be at the beach on Sunday, so there's a good chance I'm not watching any NFL football,
right,
maybe Sunday night. But if I'm watching anything in terms of one specific game on Sunday at noon, it's Steelers and Titans, man.
Yeah.
And there's nothing's any close to second in terms of the Texans teams. I don't care about the Cowboys and Redskins. What does beating the Redskins prove for Cowboys fans? Nothing. Same thing for the Texans. Now, a win over Green Bay might be a nice upset. Do you believe that they're going to beat Green Bay? And if you do, do you think they're actually going to turn this season around and make it into the playoffs this year?
And
that season is next to over with.
And maybe that's why, you know, you wouldn't be so upset about it. But if I'm a Texans fan, I mean, I'm a ride or die fan, right? As a Cowboys fan, I'm watching the last game of the year, whether they're 14-1, 1-14, I don't care, right?
Of course.
So if I'm a Texans fan, that would definitely upset me. But I'm just preparing you now for the fact that that will happen. But you're right about Pittsburgh and Tennessee, man. What a ball game that is going to be. Those two quarterbacks playing like they're playing, those defenses that are very, very good. And I just want to see Derrick Henry against the Steeler defense. Can I see extra reps of that?
Oh, man. This is going to be such fun smash mouth football, isn't it?
I want to see Tennessee try to move against Pittsburgh. That's going to be massive. And remember, this is also that wave of games where they're forcing the Steelers on the road. Remember, mm-hmm, they got to go at Tennessee, at Baltimore.
Oh, that's right. Excellent.
Because they move those games around.
I want to see the Steelers lose a couple.
Switch that bye week. You may be about to see it.
Weirdly, as an old school Oilers fan, I think I'm a Titans fan this year. And it's not because they used to be the Oilers. I just like this Titans team a lot.
They got so much good. That's the other good thing about this game. This game is full of just good football DNA, good football IQ.
Hey, want to give a little bit of love to an icon in terms of the bar scene here in Austin. A texter from the 214 just wrote in, I run a bar in Austin, and the Texans will be on Sunday Ticket for commercial accounts. And
good.
So I asked which bar?
Perfect.
Little Woodrow's.
There you go.
Great place to watch sporting events.
That is great to hear. Yes, and so for the Steelers, coming up is at Titans, at Ravens, at Cowboys. That begins this weekend, three straight. And Cowboys fans, that's the good and bad news. Good news, you get the Steelers off of those two games. The bad news is you get the Steelers.
And Tom McKay followed up with the commercial Sunday Ticket bit, too, and says you can go check it out, the Texans game, that is, at Pluckers or Cover 3.
Yeah, so that's what you're going to have to do. That's the plan you're going to have to make. And we've been telling people, because obviously Pluckers is a big partner of ours on the Longhorn games. We've said go to Pluckers.com and call your favorite location, find out how they're dealing with things, how they're doing dine-in, and do you need a reservation and all of that. I would hate for Texans fans to wake up and, you know, 11:15, 11:30 on Sunday, 11:55, and they realize, oh my God, I'm not getting the Texans. So if you've got somebody in your family who does not pay attention to social media during the week and all they do is crush on games, please let them know. Or maybe you call up your friends or family in the Houston area this weekend and say, hey, Uncle Joe, we haven't seen you in a long time. We were thinking about coming by and bringing some wings on Sunday and watching the game. How about that? That's what you should probably do, too. You go see your folks in the Houston area, because my father-in-law, who's in the Sugar Land area, and all those Houston folks, they will be seeing the Texans, no doubt about it. And they'll be glad not to be watching the Cowboys and Washington play. So NFL Week 7 is coming. And remember, Cowboys, Washington, 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kick on Sunday. We bring you all the Cowboys games right here on the Horn. All right, up next, speaking of Cowboys, where are we at in society? Apparently somebody is trying to cancel Troy Aikman. Okay, well, now you are into my wheelhouse. I want Trey to tell me this story coming up on the Horn. I don't practice Santeria. All right, I know I've heard this song. Sublime?
Good one.
Yeah, we go. Come on now. It's the only guess I had in my head, so I'm glad it worked. What's that one called?
Santeria.
Santeria. Trey's playing some beach-vibed music this week because he's getting ready for that beach wedding this weekend. Also, want to remind you, we get you ready for another chance at a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. Today, it's Randall's in Leander from 3 to 7 today. Go on by the Lakeline Boulevard location there in Leander. Snap the picture with the Coors Light Longhorn display and go hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill when you send it out. You can go to HornFM.com for more info. Thanks to Coors Light for being such a great sponsor and, of course, being the exclusive domestic beer of the Texas Longhorns. Thanks to the co-op and thanks to Randall's as well for giving you those opportunities this season. All right, let's go. Where are we at? They're getting sensitive here.
Where are we at in society? Brought to you by Lynch Plumbing, commercial and residential services. When you're in a pinch, call Lynch, 512-450-3416, online, lynchplumbingtx.com. Where are we at in society? Brought to you by Lynch Plumbing, commercial and residential services. When you're in a pinch, call Lynch, 512-450-3416, online, lynchplumbingtx.com.
It's a user error, Chad. User error.
Okay.
We had a user error in the Sunday afternoon game between Tampa and Green Bay.
Okay.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were on the call, and they did not let those guys know that there was a hot mic situation coming out of commercial break.
Jesus.
And so we caught Joe Buck and Troy Aikman talking about a flyover that had just occurred in a stadium that was a quarter full, and this is what they were saying.
Okay.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover. That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
And now, Joe Buck to a lesser degree, but more specifically, Troy Aikman is in trouble for saying that that's not something that's going to happen with the Joe Biden-Kamala Harris ticket.
Interesting he mentioned her name first. Isn't it?
Well, it is, but then again, when you listen to Joe Biden for a few minutes, you
I'm just saying, normally when you name the ticket, you give the respect to the presidential nominee first, don't you?
Well, I think he is giving respect to the true nominee.
Wow.
Was my point to that one.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yes, Troy Aikman has had to address talking about the flyover on Twitter, but he chose to ignore the fact that he essentially admitted that he was voting for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden in the upcoming presidential election. Troy Aikman, excuse me, said, if I can find the quote here. Uh-oh, lost the quote. There we go. I love a flyover, but it was odd to see one over a mostly empty stadium, but I'm an unwavering patriot that loves this country, has always respected our flag, supported the men and women in the armed forces as well as those in uniform who serve and protect, and for anyone to suggest otherwise doesn't know me, my beliefs, or what I have stood for my entire life, Troy Aikman said in a tweet, followed by an American flag emoji.
Oh, nice. I was going to say he covered all bases there.
So Troy Aikman, an emoji guy in 2020.
He did everything but put a video of himself eating a piece of apple pie.
eating an apple pie while a bald eagle crapped on his head.
And fireworks in the background. Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm just checking the basics here. My man Troy doesn't have to lose his job now, right? They're not firing him. Fox isn't firing Troy Aikman.
Thank goodness he's not going to lose his job. But I will say this. They're on to something with the whole flyover bit. It's a waste of money in years where stadiums are full, but are you really still doing flyovers, something that costs anywhere from $60,000 to over $100,000 per flyover?
Well, also,
you're spending that money right now on a flyover in a stadium that is a quarter full?
Also, that money, that discussion about the NFL and the military displays and how much they cost and how that money might be better used, I think that's a fantastic conversation to have. They need to get into that discussion because fans over the years didn't quite understand what it meant when a giant flag showed up at a game. Everybody gets that really cool feeling, but like there's weird stuff behind that when the giant flag shows up. So it's like when they started to realize, like, well, wait a minute. So who's actually paying for that? Wait, who's what?
Comes out of the Department of Defense budget,
right?
Apparently,
everybody assumed the football paid for that. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Yep.
So looking into that and really going into, I could understand those, you know, those comments.
I would also caution Troy, too, by the way, that the flyover is not a partisan activity.
Well,
that is something that happens regardless of who's in office.
I was going to say that exact thing. You're absolutely, he's wrong about the end of it.
Right.
Forget about what that says. If that leads you to believe how Troy Aikman may or may not vote and you have a comment on that, whatever. I'll let you deal with that conversation. But what he said factually that he believes might be a fact, I think he's absolutely wrong because that practice is going to continue.
Now, if it would have been Bernie Sanders who won the presidency, the flyovers turn into World War I era biplanes just because it burns less fuel.
And much like the beginning of Troy's tweet, I'll admit, I do like a flyover. I dig them, I admit.
You like getting showered in jet fuel, huh?
Well, I've never actually been showered in jet fuel that
I
know of.
It's happening. I mean, flying straight over the stadium.
That
the
jet fuel
is going to end up in very small particles overall.
That I realized it. And also,
or an era of the small particle affecting you.
The other thing I like is my school has a little more of a military influence than maybe your typical school does. So when you get flyovers at A&M, you get a variety of flyovers where sometimes they bow up a little bit on, hey, remember we had this kind of military vibe to us. Watch this. And it'll be like Apache helicopters or the stealth bomber there have been some really cool flyovers at Kyle Field.
I've seen a lot more of the stealth bomber going over DKR also.
That's a cool one.
Home games. It is cool, but at the same time, we're talking about $60,000 to $100,000 for regular jets. What does the stealth bomber cost?
That's a good point.
$400,000 for a flight like that?
Oh, yeah, I don't even know. You're saying just to do it costs
that
much.
Yeah, just to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it costs an hour. That's per hour. So, and I think it takes an hour to get prepared and ready and up in the air to actually do the flyover.
The other thing that story does for me, Trey, is it makes me want an unedited version of everything Joe Buck and Troy Aikman say during breaks. I want all of it.
Well, Joe Buck has a really entertaining podcast out right now that he does with Oliver Hudson, who's Kate Hudson's brother.
Huh.
I guess he's an actor, and they have struck up a friendship over the years. It's called Daddy Issues. It's very entertaining, and Joe Buck is like cussing all over the place.
Nice.
It's a very different Joe Buck from what we're all accustomed to, and he does address the hatred that he receives from a lot of different fan bases who thinks that he's rooting for the other team.
Oh, my God. He's that latest guy. He's the latest. Bob Costas used to be the guy in baseball, and now he's that one. They're all convinced. The F Joe Buck crowd, they're all convinced that he hates their team. I would just remind you that, no, he's just sarcastic a lot.
Yeah.
He's really sarcastic.
He's smarmy.
And dry and all that stuff. Now I know why I didn't catch that story. I was just basking in the Bucks beating the Packers. I was enjoying it so much.
That'll do it.
Nothing was going to take me away from that, even the internet trying to get rid of Troy Aikman. So, Troy, best of luck putting up the good fight and hopefully keeping your job with Fox. All right, coming up, it is Baylor week for the Longhorns. Something different at the stadium this weekend, and it has nothing to do with the eyes of Texas. We'll tell you how the Longhorns will look different against Baylor. Also, injury stuff from the Longhorns and the Cowboys. My God, more offensive line stories for the Cowboys. But we have come upon something today. This may be it. We might have finally found the thing that will make the Cowboys do what Trey and I have been telling them to do for years. We'll tell you what it is coming up on The Horn.